Abraham had a promise, and he had come to the point in his faith where the promise of God was all he needed. What's testing your faith today, beloved? Instead of questioning God, I challenge you to remember how faithful God has been in the past and to trust that today is no different. Hello, beloved, and welcome to Beloved Women with me, Christina Patterson, where we help women to learn, love, and live God's word. If you're new here, please be sure to subscribe for new videos each week. And for those of you returning, welcome back. For Beloved Bible studies, daily devotions, study guides, and unlimited and ad-free videos to grow your faith, download the Beloved Women app today. Today's video is part of our Crazy or Called Bible study series as we are learning what happens when God calls ordinary people to extraordinary purpose. Find the link to the entire series below and get your copy of the Crazy or Called Bible study guide at thebelovedboutique.com or on Amazon. There are times when God will tell us to go, and although he will tell us the next step to take, he often does not give us the complete path. He gives us the ability to see some of the path so we know what direction we're headed, but we have no idea what the final destination will look like. Maybe in this season, you know you should start a business, but you're not sure what your exact product offering will be. Or maybe you are confident in a particular school that you should apply for, but you're not sure what your major will be in. Or you feel led to get to know a particular person, but you don't know what will come of the relationship. It takes faith to go when you are not exactly sure where you're going will end up. And we see Abraham face a very similar situation. Shortly after Abraham's father dies, God tells him to leave his father's household and go. Where, you ask? Genesis 12 verses 1 through 3 tells us, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God tells Abraham to go to a land I will show you. So God is giving very little details here, but Abraham, he just goes. Now, maybe that doesn't seem like that big of a deal at first glance, but let's look deeper. First, God tells Abram to leave his country, his hometown, the land he had grown accustomed to living. He knew how to get around, where to shop, and the best places to eat. Okay, maybe not exactly like that, but you get my point. He was comfortable. He knew his neighbors. They knew him. Everything was good. And then his father dies. So Abram, and this was his name before God changes his name to Abraham later on, has lost the comfort of having the patriarch of his family close to guide and direct him. And now he must take that role. In addition to that, God is telling him to leave his comfort zone. And so how does Abraham respond? In Genesis 12, verse 4, we read, "So Abram went as the Lord had told him." Okay, stop right there just for a moment. Am I the only one that noticed God told Abraham to go, but he did not give any other details? Just go, period. No, go here. No, do this at this time. And Abraham did probably the exact opposite of what I would have done. He just went the very next verse. Now, I would have been like, okay, Lord, I hear you, but where are we going first? And how are we going to get there? Why and when? Now, Abraham's verse 4 reads, "So Abraham went." No big deal. Not for me. God would have given me his command in verses 1 through 3, and then my response probably would have been in verses 4 through 300. And then verse 301 would have read, "Finally, Christina went." Maybe. I'm joking with you, but that was not the case with Abraham. God's word was enough because Abraham had faith. Faith is the fuel that will empower us to answer the call of God on our lives, because often We won't have every piece of the puzzle or point on the map. We will just have God's word and his promise. In Genesis 12, verse 7, we discover what that promise was for Abraham. God says, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him." The interesting thing about this promise from God is that Abraham is like 75 years old. Not only that, but in Genesis 11, verse 30, we learned that Abraham's wife Sarah was childless because she was unable to conceive. So where is this great nation that God is promising supposed to come from? They did not have even one seed of a child to work with. They had nothing to show any evidence that a great nation would come from Abraham. But we know that faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Time passes and God addresses this promise to Abraham again. As Abraham went as the Lord called him to go, at one point he ends up in Canaan, and it's here that God tells him in Genesis 13 verses 14 through 17, "Look around from where you are, to the north and south, to the east and west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." A great nation, offspring like the dust of the earth. All this from an old couple with no children. If you say so, God. But through all this, Abraham stayed faithful to God, believing in God's promise. Fast forward a little bit or a lot in our study of Abraham, and he is now 90 years old, and he and Sarah still have no children of their own. In Genesis 17, God speaks to Abraham again. He once again promises that Abraham will have many offspring and they will possess the land of Canaan. However, this time God's promise comes with a covenant. In Genesis 17 verses 9 through 11, we read, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you." So Abraham's part of the covenant was to get circumcised and to ensure that all of his offspring would be circumcised as well. Now, in our day and age, to think of a baby boy getting circumcised is completely normal, but Abraham was 90 years old. That's crazy. But guess what? Do you think Abraham did it? You know he did. God sometimes calls us to do crazy things that look different from this world, but by faith, we remain obedient no matter how crazy we look, because we know our covenant with God is far greater than anything that this world has to offer. So we remain abstinent until we're married. We submit to our husbands. We go on mission trips. We don't get drunk. We don't intentionally dress revealing to gain the attention of men. We go to church. We serve. We do whatever it is that God is telling us to do, even if it means we have to sacrifice looking cool or sexy or politically correct, because we have a faith that God says is more precious than gold. This faith says God's ways are better than ours and better than this world's. This faith says God has our best interest in mind. This faith says God wants the best for us. This faith says God is faithful to keep his promises. If you remember, Abraham's call came with a promise: great nation, offspring, more numerous than the dust on the earth or the stars in the sky. And guess what? God kept his word. At 100 years old, Abraham and Sarah conceived their promised son, Isaac. If you read Abraham's full story in Genesis, you will see that God repeatedly spoke his promise to Abraham for 25 years. Over and over again, no matter what situation Abraham was in, God reminded him, "I will make you a great nation." And now the promise has been fulfilled and Abraham's faith was strengthened. Then God called Abraham yet again to do something crazy. In Genesis 22, verse 2, God tells Abraham to sacrifice his son. Yes, the promised son. Now, I would have questioned God. Say, what now? You mean the promised son that I waited for? Are you absolutely sure about this, God? But that's just me. Abraham, on the other hand, responded just as faithfully as he did when God first called him to leave his father's country in Genesis 12. He went to do just as God commanded. The Bible tells us the next morning he loaded up his donkey and rolled out with his son and his two servants. He brought wood for the burnt offering and headed to the place that God called him. They arrived at their desired destination 3 days later. So Abraham had three whole days to think things over. He had 3 days to talk himself out of it. Did God really say that? Maybe he didn't mean sacrifice when he said sacrifice. I probably just made that up in my head. Not Abraham. He traveled for 3 days with every intention of being obedient by faith. As I studied the text, I realized that Abraham did have a lot to think about. What about God's promise to him over the past 25 years. I will make you a great nation over and over and over again. Maybe God drilled it in so hard for this day, for this test, because this was a test of Abraham's faith. Did Abraham believe that God would fulfill his promise even after obediently sacrificing Isaac? Because after that, then what? Would God raise Isaac from the dead? Abraham did not have the details, but he did not need them. That was God's business. Abraham had a promise, and he had come to the point in his faith where the promise of God was all he needed. What's testing your faith today, beloved? Instead of questioning God, I challenge you to remember how faithful God has been in the past and to trust that today is no different. After traveling 3 days to the place Abraham was to sacrifice his son, we read in Genesis 22, verse 5, "Once Abraham, Isaac, and their two servants arrived to their destination, Abraham said to his servants, 'Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you.'" Abraham went with every intention of sacrificing his son, but he told his servants, "We will worship, and then we will come back. Not I will come back because Isaac will be dead, but we." That was a bold move. Abraham went in obedience, knowing God would keep his end of the deal. I really need your attention right now, because this is the faith that we need to boldly answer God's call on our lives. Your call comes with a promise that you can place your faith in, not for a particular result, but in the God who promises. God promises always to be with you. He promises to provide for you. He promises to satisfy you with good things. He makes these promises for such a time as this, beloved, because you have a decision to make. Will you lay it all out on the altar of God, your entire life for his control, or will you continue to try to control your life yourself? See, Abraham had already tried that. Yes, he is the father of faith. And so far, we've discussed his better moments of faith. But there were many times where he lacked faith and where he tried to control and manipulate because he did not trust God. Like the time he lied and said that his wife Sarah was his sister when he went to Egypt to try to save his own life. There were times where Abraham made decisions out of fear and not faith, like when he slept with his servant Hagar to birth a son because he and Sarah did not think it would happen for them, although God had already promised it would. Every time Abraham chose not to trust God, it did not work out well. But every time he was obedient to God in faith, he saw and experienced God's promises fulfilled in his life. So now Abraham was at the point where he knew that placing his faith in God and being obedient to him, no matter how crazy or confusing or difficult it might be, would always be better than the alternative. And the same is true for us today. Beloved, where is God calling you to go? What is he calling you to do? What promise does he want you to believe? What is he asking you to lay down for him? Whatever it is, beloved, do it in faith, and you will see that God is faithful. Once Abraham reached his destination, he built an altar and placed his son want it. He raised his hand to sacrifice his promised son. And well, let's read what happened next in Genesis 22, verses 11 through 14. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. Why should we place our faith in God when he calls us to do something crazy? Because God provides. He keeps his promises. He is faithful even when we are faithless. Often the call on our lives involves laying down our lives, but this call does not come without a promise. As we lay down our lives, we receive abundant life in Christ. As we die to ourselves and place our faith in Jesus, we receive eternal life. As we answer God's call on our lives, he promises to provide every step of the way. So whatever God is calling you to do, I encourage you to go in faith because he is faithful and your call comes with his promises. Stay tuned for a sneak peek at next week's video brought to you by our Beloved Women members who support our mission to empower women with the love and truth of Jesus Christ. Our members receive exclusive access to Beloved Women videos, Bible studies, printable study guides, and more. If you like Beloved Women, you will love being a Beloved Women member. Learn more and join today at belovedwomen.org. Now enjoy a preview of next week's video. I was taken aback, and if I'm honest, I didn't feel like I deserved that position. In my mind, there were other women who had been speaking longer and who had much farther reach and impact than I who could have been in that lineup. And I'm not trying to talk down about myself. I've done good work, but if I'm honest, that is how I really felt during that time. And as I spoke to my husband about it, he reminded me that no matter the reason or situation that led me to be a part of that lineup, God was in control of everything and to trust that he had me there for a reason. I've learned that God has a habit of sometimes placing us in positions that we have to grow into. Honestly, favor is not fair, and you may experience times when you receive things you are not deserving of, but God gives it to you anyways because he knows that you have the potential to grow into the position. God is giving you an early glimpse of who he knows you can be because he's the one that made you. Sometimes I'll buy my children clothes that are too big for them because I know that eventually they will grow into them. In the same way, God will often call us to a purpose that is much bigger than us, but he knows what he put in us and what he left out. And he knows that he did put in us the potential to grow into our purpose. At the time, we may feel like a small fish in a big pond, but we have to realize that sometimes we are called to a purpose that we need to grow into. And as we look at the life of Esther today, we'll see that she found herself in such a position.